And then verse 11, the crowd saw what Paul had done, and they lifted their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And they start shoehorning God's miracles into their worldview. These people cry out about their religious myths. These people interpret the meaning of these things through the lens of their own view of the world. Look at these people insist on inserting it firmly into their own worldview. People in this story, they embrace the miracle, don't they? But look at to whom they attribute the miracle in verse 12 of chapter 14. Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker, and Hermes is the messenger of the gods, right? And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. Now it's a party. It's a party. And the people are going to get fed. Do you understand that? A guy brings out a beast. They're going to cut it, cook it, and feed people. Barbecue. Do you like it? Do you like a barbecue? When we had a barbecue in the park after the holiday club last year, and people walked by and we said, "We have extra food. Would you like some?" Nobody said no. "I like a hot dog. I like a burger. We'll sit down and talk with you." That's what this guy does. He says, "Miracle, people assembled, let me get to work." And he's going to have a barbecue. Someone comes to town with truth and freedom from the pit of it all. Picture people mining diamonds, muddy and worked, and someone comes in and says, "Not the rocks, not the stones, but you." And here's Harry, who's dancing, who never used his legs before. That is not a biblical reference. I just made up his name. But he did something, and something happened, and then the religious guy comes out and he goes, "Booyah, this is my job," and everybody there getting it wrong. Someone who comes to show the value of these dirty rocks to declare that they're diamonds, but the owners of the town make a parade and declare a barbecue. So we'll set that down, all right? Because the Roman Republic ceased to exist and the Roman Empire is now running the world, the power of the Senate is waning and the Caesars rule. And around the same time, the first 100-year mark of Christianity, you have the famous satirical poet, Juvenal, and he wrote, "Two things only the people anxiously desire, bread and circuses." Are you familiar with the reference? You ever hear somebody disgusted with the fanfare of politics and go, "Bread and circuses. Man, if you give them food and you give them a show, they'll let you elect anybody with any sort of hairdo, with any sort of bunch of words." Yeah, that was a clandestine reference, wasn't it? Because the Roman rulers kept the people happy by distributing free food and staging huge spectacles. So, Paul's there. Here he is in Lystra. It's modern-day Turkey, right? But back then, Lystra, and the pagan priest distracts with the then-standing worldview of Lystra. What do you see when you speak up in modern-day Scotland? Okay, Paul speaks up, and there's miraculous, and then someone comes to explain it away. What do you see when you stand up and you take a stand for something true and something right? What comes next? How has the Lord of this fallen world spring-loaded the minds of people to respond to the good news? Right? If you say something, how ready is someone else there to go, yeah, but I write? Well, we know. Oh, that's just like... You see what I'm saying? You see the connection that I'm making? It's not a stretch. And we're reading this part of the Bible because we read the other part last week. And the week before that, we read the bit before that. So this is just what was coming next. You're here today because of what brought you here, but this was always coming next. Do you trust in the providence of God to say you're here at the right time to hear the right thing? I do. When you declare the value placed on people by the only good God, that He, the Creator, sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, for the world that He loves, how does Satan hold fast these diamonds in the rough? How does he just... Look at verse 13. The priest of Zeus wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. And then verse 14 is the response. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and they rushed out into the crowd crying out. Tear your garment means, you know, rip off your Gucci thing and throw it. I mean, your garment is the highest value item you own, maybe, right? It's woven. There's not sweatshops and Nike and people to sell it at the Thistle Center or at Sterling Mills, okay? The ripped clothes means, wow, you are out. Like, that was just, that is no longer a resource to you. And that's what they did. This is so important. Oh, my stuff. Rushed out into the crowd, and they said, what's the memory verse that you find on the front of the bulletins that you receive when you came in? And it's in your Bible at verse 15. People, why are you doing these things? We also are human beings just like you. We bring you the good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons and satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Paul is there to declare God is real. The world up until Jesus was reeling in the patient grace that God shows for people who don't get it yet. We still live in a world where all this messed up stuff is happening in the midst of the things that God is doing. And people make a feeble argument that the bad stuff is happening because God's doing it. Or, I know there's no God because of all the bad stuff. Because if there was a good God, he would follow my plan for him. If God was good, he would do everything I deem good. And nothing that is maybe good for me, but that I don't like, would ever happen. That's the argument. In the patient grace that God shows for people who don't get it yet. But here's Paul. Here we are, right? Today is the day for you to change. Paul says, get up and walk. He's talking about Jesus, the risen Savior. He's standing against the religious attempts to explain the meaning of things. And he's declaring the ruler of the world, the broken world, to be a vanquished foe. But people really resist it, don't they? This is Paul's message. The message for the people gathered in Alva today is the same message that he gave in Lystra back then.